Welcome to St. Augustine this evening. It's Tuesday night. This is Mike Davis, otherwise known as the Mike Davis Show, according to Pete Melfi. And we love Pete Melfi because he hosts us on the 904 Now app. And if you don't have the 904 Now app, go download it. It's really easy. And you can watch all kinds of amazing things, including updates on all of the current events that Pete runs around all day long tracking and taking care of. And we've got a wonderful guest for you tonight, your return guest, one of my favorite guests. But first, we got to make a little bit of money. And Amanda, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we have an older producer today.
We do.
Yesterday, we had the youngest producer on the network. It was awesome. All right, so I want to thank our sponsors today, Hebert Kresge & Associates. They're a full-service local CPA firm with a team of skilled professionals dedicated to providing top levels of service in all the areas of tax compliance, planning for businesses, estates, individuals, trusts, audits, reviews, accounting services. If you need a business evaluation, they can do that. Forensic analysis and litigation support. Call Bill and Ken over at Hebert Kresge. You can reach them at 904-460-0747 or online at HebertKreskeCPA.com. Great folks. They do a wonderful job. And A to Z Roofing and Waterproofing, they've been serving St. Johns County for over 20 years. They offer free estimates. They also can complete any type of roofing that you need, from painted metal roofs for saltwater area homes with warranties up to 25 years. And A to Z Roofing and Waterproofing offers shingle roofs with warranties up to 50 years. They also install tile roofing, cedar shake shingles, designer roofing, and flat roof coverings. You can go to their website, A2ZRoofingAndWaterproofing.com. You see all kinds of great pictures and stuff. Call Chuck McCone and his staff, 669-8037. And Amanda, you got the other reads tonight.
I do. We have the team at South State Bank is a group of bankers you can count on. Their approach to building long-term relationships with their customers is the best in the business. If you are looking for a banking relationship you can depend on, check out South State Bank. They've got three locations to serve you, in St. Augustine, one at State Road 312, one at State Road 16, and on the beach. You can also visit their website at southstatebank.com. They are a member FDIC. Also, who needs Taco Tuesday when you can have pizza and burgers? We've got Carmelo's Pizzeria, locally owned and operated by the Tringali family. Voted best pizza 9 years in a row, New York-style brick oven pizza. They also serve salads, subs, wings, and more. Also, 123 Burger House, locally owned and operated, also by the Tringali family. Voted best burgers 3 years in a row. Burgers, chicken, wings, salads, authentic wood-fired pizza, and ice cream. Offered dine-in, takeout, delivery through Bite Squad and Grubhub, the Tringali family and all the staff would like to thank you for your business during these unusual times. Back to you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. Great job. And today we welcome Colonel Bill Dudley back with us. He's such an influential member of the military establishment that not only did he retire from the Air Force, but the Navy League recruited him right afterwards because he was just so good at that thing called service. And you really are good at that. You're a tribute to people that donate back. You put your life on the line, and now you're working as hard as you did back then, helping veterans in our community. And you're just a huge asset to St. Johns County. Always honored when you come on the show.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. And it is one of the things that I opted to do when I retired the last time in 2000. I retired from the military in 1975. Put 20 and a half years in the military. And then I went into corporate world and corporate
life. But as young as you are, were you like 12 when you joined the military?
Yeah. Well, some people have asked me that. But there's days when I feel a lot older than I look, that's for sure. But one of the things I opted to do when I retired from corporate life was I wanted to give back. And so I kind of took an inventory of what I felt were my skills, and I had felt that I had good management skills. I certainly had a veteran background. And so I put the two of those together and started looking around to get involved to how I could help veterans in this community. And I came upon the Veterans Council and joined the Veterans Council as well as the Navy League. And I've been serving in one of those capacities since 2000. So this is my 22nd year.
And you were also national vice chairman, chairman?
I was national vice president of the Navy League. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was a local council president.
Was it discriminatory that they didn't let the Air Force guy become president? I just have to ask.
No, it was something that I declined on my part. I was asked to run for president, and I turned it down.
You look very smart. You look much smarter when you said that.
I got as close to that position as I wanted to, but I turned it down. I just didn't want all that travel, going mm-hmm. up to D.C. every week and traveling all over the country and actually internationally, because the Navy League is an international organization. So I just didn't want to do that anymore. I'd done that for 30, 40 years, and I just didn't want to get into that again.
Well, we're glad you're spending your time here in St. Johns County. Plus, you realized I'm in the best place in the world. Why would I leave?
That's exactly right. People are coming here, and so they must know something.
They must have. And you also have one other quality, which you didn't say, which it is we don't see enough of it in our society today, and that's stick-to-itiveness, right? When you see something, you just stick to it until it gets resolved. And I think of the VA center here in St. Johns County and what a long battle that was and how you never gave up on that and you never wavered that was going to get done.
Long battle is right. It was over 11 years that we pursued that to get a permanent home for our health care services for our veterans here in St. Johns County.
So to just let everyone know, the 30-year war was over quicker than the battle to get the VA here in 11
true.
Years.
That's true.
I just want everyone to know.
That's true.
So you've come to announce a couple of big veterans events. We got a lot of veterans things to talk about, but what are the big events that are coming up in the next month?
These are both annual events that we do every year. The Veterans Council has been involved in for a number of years. The first one's coming up on October the 8th, and that's our Homeless Veterans Stand Down. Now, last year, we had the Homeless Veterans Stand Down. We did not have the turnout of the homeless veterans that we had in years past. Mm-hmm. Normally, on average, we have between 35 and 40 homeless veterans that would show up each year when we did this program. Last year, we had 11. And we contribute that to the fact that two things. The fact that I don't think we got the word out as good as we should have. And the second is, I think there was some effect, if you will, or some impact from COVID that affected the turnout. But be that as it may, we still did exactly the same thing for those 11 veterans, homeless veterans, that we did in years past for the other larger turnouts that we had. Well, we're doing it again this year, and we've got a good plan in terms of how we're going to get the word out. How we're going to get the veterans to the Elks Lodge there on the island for this homeless veteran stand down on October the 8th.
And you're going to be doing all kinds of things for them if we can get them there, right? So there's health care services, housing resources, legal resources, employment service, homeless outreach, clothing, personal hygiene items, haircuts, showers, hot meals, and a raffle.
Exactly right. I was just on the phone with the Elks Lodge folks yesterday, and they'll be ordering all the food on a couple of days before that to serve on October the 8th. I was on the phone also with our veteran service officer yesterday, and they are prepared. They're ready for this. We've got huge amounts of clothing, shoes, toilet articles. One of our local churches, the ladies quilting ministry at one of our churches, Anastasia Baptist Church in this case, have made 50 of the little ditty bags to put mm-hmm. all of the toilet articles in. They do that for us every year as one of their projects. So we're prepared. We're ready. And I've got a lot of volunteers lined up to come and help us on October the 7th. Set the Elks Lodge up, put the tables out, mm-hmm. put all the clothing out, and come October the 8th, we'll be ready for these homeless veterans.
And it starts at 9 o'clock.
Starts at 9 o'clock on October the 8th, which is a Saturday.
Which, for somebody like you, is that like lunchtime? Yeah. Are you still getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning for Reveille?
That is midday for me. That's true. We've got that program coming up, and we are looking for that one to be hugely successful this mm-hmm. year. The program that we have coming up after that is really our signature event of the year. That's our Veterans Day program. Now, before we came on the air, you and I were talking about the fact that a few years back we did a parade, mm-hmm. a Veterans Day parade, and that was hugely successful. It was kind of bookend with the 450th anniversary of St. Augustine. And it was a culmination of the program for the 450th. We ended it up with a huge parade downtown, and we had representatives from the State Department. We had representatives from foreign state representatives from all the flags that have ever flown over St. Augustine that were here with us for that parade. And we had them on the reviewing stand. And we followed it up the next year with another parade. But parades are very, very hard to put on. They're very difficult. There's a lot of moving parts in a parade. And very difficult to organize, very difficult to get it all together. You have to shut down a main highway in the middle of St. Augustine. So you're working with the Florida Department of Transportation to do all these things. So there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of cost associated with it as well. So the following year, we opted to go back to doing a regular program, and we did it. We selected Anastasia Baptist Church because it has the largest venue, if you will, to house a number of people that we were in hopes that we would draw into the Veterans Day program. And that first year, I think we had about 500 or 600 people. And in the years subsequent to that, we have filled that auditorium every year. And that auditorium holds 1,250 people. Mm-hmm. And we fill it with over 1,000 people every year. And on November the 11th this year, we have another program selected conducted there at Anastasia Church. And this year's theme is going to be the global war on terrorism. Mm-hmm. We're going to cover that 20-year period that this country has, the longest engagement this country has ever had in the history of military services. We've got a lot of veterans here who joined the military after 9/11 in mm-hmm. 2001, who went on to finish careers in the military and retire during the global war on terrorism. So we're going to be celebrating that and honoring all of those veterans who have served during that 20-year period.
And you got a guest speaker?
Our guest speaker is going to be a local general. He is the Deputy Adjutant General for the National Guard. Major General John Haas.
Okay.
And we're very, very fortunate to have General Haas as our keynote speaker.
Is it true that Thomas Jefferson's family is going to protest this year, that the war on terror actually started under Thomas Jefferson's administration?
Well, we haven't been officially told that, but there's been some rumors about that.
Just, you go back, it's just very interesting that our first excursion, right, as a world power, was in North Africa. I mean, it's a very interesting kind of, you look at U.S. history and go back and look at that, but with the pirates, so the Tripoli pirates. So who's catering? You got food at this event?
No, the Veterans Day program is only an hour program, actually.
Okay.
But we do have the church atrium area set up with lots of tables. We have 37 people, 37 organizations right now that will be displaying on the tables in the atrium area, and these are all organizations local that support veterans in some way.
And I've been to that event. It's an absolutely phenomenal event. I think you guys do a great job. Anastasia Baptist is such a great partner in the community because so many people get to run events. And that is a great venue to be able to do that. It's a great stage. It's a great setup. Lots of parking. So, yeah.
Well, parking's going to be a little bit of an issue for us this year there at Anastasia Church. This past Sunday, we had our groundbreaking ceremony there at Anastasia. all of that treed parking lot that you see in the back mm-hmm. of the church there, all those trees will be removed by the time we have our Veterans Day program. There's going to be a fence across the back of the program, across the back of the parking lot as well, because the contractors will be underway by that time.
So carpool.
Well, we're still going to have plenty of parking,
yeah.
But what we're doing is there's going to be parking there, but we're going to use our church vans to move people around and shuttle them around to the mm-hmm. front of the church. So we'll work it out. I've got our facilities people and our church administrator coming to our committee meeting on Thursday to, mm-hmm. to explain to us how they're going to handle the parking situation for us.
Now, are you a member of that church?
I'm a senior deacon there.
Okay. So you got a little bit of pull with them.
Well, they usually respond to me when I call them and ask them, you know, for some help.
So if I want Walter West to do something for me, do I just need to tell him that you're a frequent guest on this show?
Depends on when you ask him. If I've already asked him something before that.
Probably not. Well, you do outrank me like a billion to nothing. So what about Bobby Crumb? Can I get Bobby Crumb to do something?
Bobby would be a good one.
Okay, I'll recruit Bobby for
Bobby
something.
Bobby would be a good one. In fact, he preached at our service on this past Sunday. It's the first time I've seen him in the sanctuary in several months because he normally does the 10:30 service.
Okay.
But Bobby's a great guy, great pastor.
Yes. You have a great group of people over there.
We do. We're very fortunate in that church to have the pastoral the pastors that we have in that church.
Mm-hmm.
We're very, very fortunate.
Yes. And it's a great congregation, very involved in the community.
It is.
You know, we need more of that. We don't have enough of that in the world today.
We don't. And what the church is doing is it's a $14 million expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that the church has opted to do that is we're increasing, if you will, our youth programs in the church, our school.
Mm-hmm.
But we just didn't feel that it was secure enough with the older buildings that we had there. So this new addition that's going on is going to be top of the line security, if you will, for the children.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to have a phenomenal assets as a part of it as well, like a gymnasium that's going to be a part of the new project. And lots of other things as well. So it's going to be great for the community and for the youth in our community as well. But that's where we have opted to do this mm-hmm. for the last several years for our Veterans Day program, and we always have a huge turnout. Did you go last year?
I don't think I went last year. I'm trying to remember where I was, and I may not have been in country last year.
Dr. Hal Kushner was our keynote speaker mm-hmm. last year, and Congressman Michael Waltz.
He's a great. I enjoy talking to him. I've gotten to talk to him a few times over the years, and really nice guy.
Both of them were phenomenal. Dr. Kushner was a 5-year POW in Vietnam, and he's an incredible speaker as well.
Was he part of the movie that you guys put on, the POW movie?
No. Yes, he was. I'm sorry, he was. Exactly. He's in that movie.
I got Bill Dudley on something. Taking me my whole lifetime, and I got him.
I had to think about it for a minute, but we did. He was one of the five that we had as a part of that documentary.
Yeah.
Sure was.
That was a great documentary.
Yeah.
Have you thought about re-showing any of those again?
We do. We show them all the time, and we present these, and we give them out to schools, to colleges, to universities, mm-hmm. to museums, all over the whole country. And we don't charge for those. We just, if any school or any museum or any university wants a set of them, we just ship them to them. And and we also give them the link. You can go on a link, and we mm-hmm. have a link to each one of them as well.
When you say each one of them, so there's more than once. I how many exactly have there been? And I'm familiar with a couple, but I probably don't know all of them.
We initially did year after year after year. We did 5 of them.
Okay.
We started with World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We did World War II. We did Korea. We did Canines for Warriors. We did POW MIA. And then year before last, due to COVID, we couldn't do a Veterans Day program. So we said, well, we're going to do something. So what are we going to do? So we actually went back and did another Korean War veteran program, a documentary, which we filmed at the Officers Club downtown at St. Francis Barracks. Mm-hmm. And we had five Korean War veterans in that documentary. And this one was The Forgotten War Remembered. Mm-hmm. So we've actually done six documentaries, six of them.
Yeah, that's and to me, we're losing a generation that can tell those stories.
We are.
And I have a member at church who I'm trying to get to sit down with me. He was 7 years old, living next to Pearl Harbor when Pearl Harbor got bombed. His dad was in the service. He went to the Naval Academy. His story's phenomenal. I mean, and I'm trying to get it. I mean, I think I'm going to have to go to his house to sit down and have the conversation with him, because we're losing all of that, right? We're losing that history and that memory, and it's not being passed down from generation to generation.
Well, you know, St. Joseph's Academy is doing just exactly that, and they have produced an excellent book, and they're continuing to do these interviews using the students. I was just at the St. Joseph Academy a few months ago when they had the grand presentation, if you will, and they had a lot of those veterans there when they were they did the book presentation.
I'll reach out to those guys, because Todd DiClemente's been on a bunch of times. I'm an alumni of St. Joe, so I'll have to reach out and ask him to see if we can't get him to come talk about that
program. Absolutely. You need him on this program.
Okay.
You really need him to get him on this program.
Yeah, that would be fun to actually watch kids that went to school and did an amazing job.
And I can give you the contact names here of the people that you need to talk with to do. And I've had them at the Veterans Day program, at the Veterans Day council meetings a couple of times, and made presentations.
Yeah, that'd be great to get them on. Like I said, they're successful high school students.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I was unsuccessful, but
well, our sheriff is a graduate of St. Joe's as well.
You know? I know. Look what it can get you.
So, but it's I'm really glad to see that history of our veterans is being recorded in some fashion, and they are doing that.
Yeah. How's the VA doing at the facility here?
The new clinic is doing very well. I'm a member of the stakeholders committee. We meet every month.
Is there any committee with veterans that you're not on?
Not many. Not many in St. Johns County. But I meet with Dr. McKenzie every month, and myself, our veteran service officer, Joe McDermott, one of the representatives from Mike Waltz's, Congressman Waltz's office. There's several of us that are stakeholders with the CBOC, and we meet monthly and just go over how's it going type of things. The doc shares a lot of things with us that the VA is doing in the way of health care. And then we open it up to exchanging information with him about things that probably he wouldn't hear from his staff that we hear about, you know, from the veterans and the community that he needs to know about.
Yeah.
And we do that monthly.
Good. So, what is CBOC?
Community-based outpatient clinic.
Okay.
So in this case, it's the Leo C. Chase Jr. VA Community-Based Outpatient Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the official name, the legal name of the...
It's a great name for that facility.
It is. Do you know how that name came about?
I'm going to let you tell the story, but I don't want to ruin it by saying, I believe Vietnam... was where Leo Chase Jr. lost his life.
That's right.
And there's a story associated with that, and I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to let you tell the story.
Well, when we started the building and the building project got underway, I was working very closely with the team over in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from the project manager one afternoon and said, "Hey, Bill, you got a unique opportunity here." I said, "What's that?" And he says, "VA is going to give you the opportunity to name this facility. Normally, they don't name them. They if it's built in St. Augustine, they might call it the St. Augustine VA Clinic. or if it's built in Clearwater, it might be the Clearwater VA clinic. But in this case, they gave us an opportunity to name the clinic. So I put out a kind of a contest, if you will, to all of the 28 different veterans organizations that we have in St. John's County, and said, "Look, we got this, you know, this golden opportunity to name this clinic."
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to take 30 days, and I want to hear back from all of the 28 different organizations of the name that that you or your organization would like to see this clinic named after as a veteran. And we got lots of names back, but the name that that was most prominent of all was Leo C. Chase Jr. by a large margin.
Yeah.
And so that's the name we went forward with. So we had to submit that name to Congress, because Congress had to approve it, and both houses of Congress. So I immediately contacted John Rutherford and Michael Waltz and said, "Look, need your support in this." I immediately contacted our two senators in the state and said, "Need your support in this and voting for it and bringing it to the floor." And they did. All of them supported it. And that's how we got the name of Leo C. Chase Jr. And so when we had the dedication of the building, we had the Leo C. Chase family there.
Mm-hmm.
When we did the groundbreaking, his mother was there, and she participated in the groundbreaking. But unfortunately, she passed away before the building was ever completed. But we had his brother, and we had some of his other family members there as well.
Now, just a great honor for a local young man.
It was.
He gave his life fighting for his country.
It was. Yeah. It was. And he was killed in the battle of in the Trang Valley, which is where the book We Were Soldiers Once was book was written there about that battle.
Yeah.
And that's the battle he lost his life in.
That's a phenomenal movie, right?
It's just a
great you watch that and because of what they're able to do now and everything in show, you get a sense of just what that must have been like and how difficult and harrowing a battle that had to be for the men that fought in it.
And Leo was only a couple of weeks away from finishing his tour and returning to the States.
Yeah.
when he lost his life there when he was KIA.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's a phenomenal story, and certainly worthy of naming our healthcare center after him.
Well, I'm glad that whoever decided in D.C. to finally do something nice for veterans and allow them to name, that's kind of nice, because, like you said, we don't always get that option.
Well, like we said at the opening of the show, over 11 years that we pursued it to make it come to fruition, along with a subcommittee hearing in Washington and Congressman at that time, Congressman Michael Waltz's office, to make this come to fruition.
And I don't know how you did it, because I've dealt a little bit with both the federal and state government on trying to get things done and some rental property stuff. And when you look at the list, you just go, "You guys really don't want to rent anything." I mean, it's absolutely unreal. And then they'll bring a team down. Right. And I'm thinking a team of 5 or 6 people, and they'll fly 15 people or 20 people down to look at something. And you're like, "We could have taken pictures and sent it to you."
We had lots of teams here during that period of time. Lots of teams.
Mostly in the spring, summer, and fall.
Anything to get out of Washington, especially in the wintertime.
Oh, man. It's amazing to me how Washington works. And I use that term loosely.
Well, you know, to get where we were, even consider building a permanent home here for our veterans for their health care needs. We had the Veterans Council hosted 2 town hall meetings with the VA here in St. Augustine. And Mike, I got to tell you, they were both pretty emotive. They got pretty heated, as you might expect they would. We fill the Elks Lodge. Fill the Elks Lodge with veterans. And we had VA representatives representing the healthcare side, the legal side, the contractors, and it got to be pretty emotional. on a couple of the meetings. And as a result of that, what the Veterans Council opted to do mm-hmm. was to write a letter to the Secretary of the VA. And so we wrote the letter. And the letter not only went to the VA secretary, but it went to the president, it went to the vice president, it went to both of our mm-hmm. Representatives, our state senators, and it went to members of Congress that were set on that committee as well. So when I sent the letter around for signatures, the letter came back, it was probably 2 to 3 inches thick. Mm-hmm. That's how many signatures we had on it in all of Northeast Florida. And when I went down to mail it off to Washington, I took it down in a transfile box. Mm-hmm. That's how large it was, and mailed it off to Washington. It got results. It got their attention.
Who was the president at the time?
Obama.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, It doesn't matter who the president was, right? You have to work through a process no matter who it is.
Got to go through the process.
Yeah, there are people go, oh, well, it's so-and-so if it was a Republican. It doesn't matter. It's a bureaucracy that runs the VA.
Yep.
And you have to work through that bureaucratic process no matter who it is.
You got to go through the process, and you can't be in a hurry because they don't get in a hurry to do things like this. Mm-hmm. But it was effective.
Good.
We did get the attention that it needed, and we were successful in doing it. And today we've got that permanent home mm-hmm. for our health care for our veterans.
Good.
And it's filling up fast. In our last stakeholders meeting, to get to go to the next level of expansion, we need about 10,000 people using this VA clinic. And at our last stakeholders meeting, I think the numbers that Dr. McKenzie gave us, the chief medical officer gave us, was around 7,800 mm-hmm. is where we are today. So we're not far away from looking at expansion of this program.
Well, and this is a huge veteran community.
Community, it is.
There's a lot of retirees in Northeast Florida that were veterans that may have served in the area, may have come back. I mean, it's a big veteran area.
Well, the numbers that I use for our veteran population here in St. Johns County is 23,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's north of that now. I think it's beyond 23,000 veterans. If you look at the northern part of the county and the growth, there's a lot of veterans coming into the northern part of the county that are retirees from our military community in Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Marine Corps. Even some of the Army detachments that's there. But there's a lot of retirees that's coming into St. Johns County. It's being relocated here, and they're locating here. So it's we're getting, and the Veteran Service Office is seeing the same kind of growth.
Yeah.
They're seeing, on average, they're seeing between 50 and 60 new clients a week in our Veteran Service Office. That's phenomenal growth.
Yes. Yeah. You and I have teamed up at Home Again St. John's, which is an honor for us to have you on the board. We're currently going through a rezoning on a parcel that hopefully will get rezoned, but the goal is to do housing for homeless, but a percentage of that, 25%, is set aside for veterans housing. Because you're currently housing how many veterans right now in hotels that are homeless?
Well, funny that you'd ask that question, because just before I left to come to be on the show with you tonight, I was on the phone with a couple of our people that called me about housing some additional veterans that need housing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also got two veterans right now that in the last 5 days that we've had to put them up in hotels. So we're averaging between 4 and 5 a week that we're putting in hotels here.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, that's the most expensive way that you can house a veteran.
Yeah.
Is putting them up in motels. You don't get any breaks, if you will, on the cost.
Mm-hmm.
St. Augustine, everybody knows this. St. Augustine is a vacation destination for thousands of people that want to come here. So the hotel industry is doing extremely well here in St. John's County and St. Augustine, particularly. And so trying to put a veteran there and house them for a week at the time and feed them and do all the things that they need mm-hmm. in terms of shelter and support is a very, very expensive way to do it.
Yeah.
And we've just got to have a means of housing these veterans to where we're not having to shell out $1,000 a week per veteran for those needs that they have to shelter them and feed them.
How are they finding you? How are these homeless vets finding you? How are you finding them?
Well, it started off kind of slow at first because they were going into the other agencies to get their to try to get some help. But the Veterans Council stepped up to this a couple of years ago, and you don't have any problems being found out. You know who you know that you'll help. Our Veterans Service Office knows, and of course, our Veterans Service Officer. The supervisor, manager for the department is one of our advisors in the Veterans Council. So he knows, that the Veterans Council, can help, and will help, these veterans. So they refer them to us. The good thing about the Veterans Council is, we don't have to go through a process. All I have to do is, shoot an email out to my board and say, I've got this veteran who needs housing for a week. Mm-hmm. I recommend we put him up in a hotel. I immediately get responses back from every one of them saying it's approved. We do it. That's the process for us. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at some of the other organizations, be it the VA organizations or a county organization or Flagler Health organizations, they all have a process they have to go through, and they all take time. Even once they're approved, they still have to go through the process of trying to find housing for them, which is very difficult. With the Veterans Council, I simply pick up the phone and call ABC or XYZ motel and say, "Can you do you have a room for 1 week for a veteran?" And now we get a veteran's discount. We do get that.
Yep.
And since we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, we don't pay any state tax on them as well. So that we do get that break. But that's it. We pay the same rate that anybody else does.
And if we put them in a housing, and we've done the study at home again, it's not dissimilar to housing someone for overnight for $15-$20 versus arresting them and putting them in the jail for what at the time 11 years ago was about $150 to $200, which is now probably north of that.
Yep.
Probably $200 to $300. So when you look at the best way to serve people, the most economical way is to have a service that's available so that we can put these veterans in a house for a week and then get them the services, help they need, and then get them back on their feet.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because the Veterans Council works very, very closely with the Sheriff's Department here, mm-hmm. St. John's County Sheriff's Department. And I can't tell you how many times at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon I get that phone call from one of the sheriff's deputies and say, "Hey, Bill, you know, I've got this guy here. He says he's a veteran. He's homeless. You know, I got to do something with him."
Yeah.
And the only choice I have, the sheriff's deputy has, is take him down and charge him with something and lock him up mm-hmm. and put him in jail. So there's a huge cost associated with that.
Yeah.
So when they call us, we always find a way to house that veteran mm-hmm. and put him in a motel. Most of the time it means I have to jump in the car, go meet the deputy someplace, have him meet me at a hotel somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and go get the veteran checked in. These guys, most of them, everything that they have with them, they have in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
That they're walking around with a bag, and that's it. So, you know, it's get them checked in a hotel and then find out, do they have the money for food? And if they don't, then I go down and get a gift card
mm-hmm.
and bring it back and give it to them. And so they've got something to eat on, you know, for the weekend.
What's the average age of the veterans that you're dealing with? Younger veterans, older veterans, mix of both?
Most of them are older veterans.
Okay.
A lot of them are Vietnam veterans.
Okay.
They're former Vietnam veterans. But we do have a few young ones as well. And one other thing that we're seeing is we're seeing a lot more female veterans, homeless veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one housed out on at a hotel on State Route 16 right now. That's been there for 2 weeks, female veteran. So we're seeing more and more female veterans.
Is a lot of just trying to reconnect them with family? Is it a lot of them trying to get them a job? How are you helping them out of their situation?
Well, a lot of them are estranged from their family.
Okay.
You know, they and St. John's County and St. Augustine is kind of a it's kind of transitory through here. A lot mm-hmm. of them are moving through St. John's County on the way to Florida, southern Florida, the southern part of the state, trying to get down to Fort Lauderdale or Miami or someplace in the south. They run out of money here. They can't go any further. Most of them are transitory.
Yeah.
The ones that are here long term are usually in a camp someplace, one of the camps, the many camps that we have around St. John's County, St. Augustine. They're in those camps. So that's not usually the ones you see. It's the ones that are transitory that we usually wind up housing.
Yeah, the first year I worked with the stand down, and I tell the story often, there was a lot of leftover equipment that the National Guard tents and mosquito netting and all the stuff that had been donated. And we had space out here, and I said, well, you know, you can bring it out there and just come get it whenever you need it, which is what happened over about a year's course of time. But there was a homeless vet helping me move the stuff. So I get in a conversation with him, right? And he was a Vietnam era guy.
Yeah.
And I said, you're pretty healthy, pretty good shape. Why, you know, I just don't want to be around anybody. I've got a friend that lets me live in a trailer. I don't have any power or water in this trailer, but I live out on his property, and that's exactly where I want to be, and I just want to be left alone. And that was the mindset, and that was one of the realizations that, you know, as you first get involved in dealing with homeless, you're like, well, we can fix this. And that was the first realization of this guy's right where he wants to be, and you're not going to be able to fix this. You can only help him to the best of your ability.
You're so right about that, and we run into to that all the time, especially the ones that are in the camps. We've tried to get them to move out of the camp, mm-hmm. Try to get them into housing. They don't want it. They don't want it. You know, I don't want anything to do with anything organizationally. I don't want to be bothered with that. I just want to be left alone. You know, if you want to give me food, fine. If you want to help me with clothing and shoes or some of my needs, fine. You know, I'll accept mm-hmm. it. But leave me alone. I'm where I want to be. Yeah. And we run into that all the time.
Amanda, I have hogged your time today. Do you have questions?
No, I've just been listening and taking in the information. I mean, I just really appreciate the work that you do, Colonel Dudley, and I'm just really glad that you're able to come here and share it with us. I have put up a link to your organization in the comments, and a couple of times I've scrolled through your event page just so people
can see
the details. Thank
you for doing that. Appreciate that.
She's amazingly efficient. Unlike me, amazingly inefficient and ineffective. Amanda is awesome at both.
I try.
Yes. So very. I do. I have a couple of kind of questions. Does anybody ever tell you no? I mean, because you've called me about some things, and I haven't told. I may not have told you yes, because I'm trying to figure out how to tell you yes. But you're one of those resources in our community that when you call, everyone knows that your heart is in the right place. And I can't imagine someone just flat out telling you, no, Bill, I'm not going to help you out today.
No, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I recruited Sheriff Shore mm-hmm. when he retired. I recruited him to come into the Veterans Council.
And so he's going to do honest work now. you can tell him I said that.
We've actually put him to work. But he is helping me with doing some fundraising.
Yeah.
And the Veterans Council, we don't do bake sales. We don't do car washes. We don't do golf mm-hmm. tournaments, things like that, to raise money. What we do and our sources of income is it's from organizations mm-hmm. And individuals and grants. And we apply for a lot of grants. Mike, we're very, very fortunate. The Lord has blessed us in the fact that we've got a very strong balance sheet. in a Veterans Council. And that allows us to do all the things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But David Shore has come on board and has helped me. And I've got a good network system here in mm-hmm. the county and Northeast Florida as well. He's got a phenomenal network system. Mm-hmm. And so he and I have teamed up, and we've met with quite a few businessmen in the local area.
Yeah.
And the giving spirit of these businesses and these individuals mm-hmm. Has just overwhelmed me.
Yeah.
In terms of how they have supported the Veterans Council and getting out their checkbook and writing us checks and helping us.
And I think some of it is, and I could be 100% wrong, but I think some of it is the Veterans Council is so busy solving problems and helping vets. The thought of going and asking people to help you do what you're already doing, right? You need somebody like a David Shore to kind of bridge that gap and get you in front of the people that would be very supportive, but you're just so darn busy doing your mission.
That's exactly right. And I do say extremely busy. It literally is a 7-day a week job.
I'm exhausted listening to what you did today.
So David has helped me, and he's helped me immensely. He set up a working luncheon for us about 2 weeks ago, and I met with several businessmen over a luncheon, and I was very, very pleased with the benevolency of those individuals. We walked away that day with helping our balance sheet, with some good donations. But that money gets poured right back into the Veterans Council. Another thing that I do want to comment on, and I want the public to know this, none of our executive directors, none of our people, our board members, no one takes any salary, takes any compensation whatsoever in the things that we do. I pay for my own gas. I pay for my own meals when we go out. Everything that we do, we pay for ourselves, and every cent that comes into the Veterans Council goes back to veterans in some form of helping and supporting a veteran,
which I think is absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And it brings me, you dovetailed right in the next question. So there's the Veterans Council here. So if people want to give to you, what's the best way that they can donate money to the Veterans Council here?
Well, if they want to write a check, the best way to do it is to just write a check and send it to our post office box, which is Veterans Council Post Office Box 2117, mm-hmm. St. Augustine 32085.
And I think you put that link up, right?
I've got the address right here.
Awesome. So if you're listening to the show, just click on the link that Amanda's put up in the comments. Amanda's running that now. One of the other questions, a lot of times you don't know who to give to. There's a lot of organizations that claim that they're helping and serving veterans. Based on your work with veterans in those organizations, do you have any that you would recommend if someone says, I want to give to a national organization, who should they give to?
Well, if you're looking on the national scale, the one that is closest to us here in Jacksonville is Wounded Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people out there know that Wounded Warrior several years ago got a very bad reputation,
mm-hmm.
and deservedly so. They were doing some leadership things that, as a leadership group of the Wounded Warrior, they should not have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, the money that was coming into Wounded Warrior, only about 20% of it was going back out to veterans. 80% of it was staying in-house for mm-hmm. salaries and administrative costs and trips and meetings in Las Vegas and things like that. So they got a really bad rep. But the new CEO of Wounded Warrior that's come in now, retired Lieutenant General, Army General, has turned Wounded Warriors around, and it is an incredible organization now. And I was just telling you of an experience that I had with the quality of an individual who is being interviewed that I had lunch with about 3 weeks ago. And this individual is a retired Coast Guard commander. and he was commander of one of the Coast Guard cutters out of Jacksonville. And I met him through my Navy League connection several years ago. So he and I were having lunch, and he was telling me over lunch that day that he was interviewing for a job with Wounded Warrior. And that's the quality of people that Wounded Warrior is bringing on now. Mm-hmm. And I certainly can attest to the quality and integrity of this particular officer. And I've met several others in the Wounded Warrior program in the last couple of years, and they're all quality people.
Mm-hmm. And that's an organization I gave to a long time ago. Stop because of that. Because of your advice today, I will change that philosophy and re-support them.
They are a great organization now, and the things that they're doing for our mm-hmm. wounded veterans is just phenomenal. Yeah. The other one is the Tunnel to Towers program. They're doing some incredible things for housing veterans and veterans' needs and in housing. And that's another one that I would recommend anybody.
And I just started giving to them this year. It was just one of those that pulled at my heart one night, and I said, yeah, I need to make sure I
do that. They're doing some incredible work, mm-hmm. not only for veterans, but also for first responders yes. as well. Mm-hmm. So they are a phenomenal organization.
Okay. So I have two kind of fun questions at the end of this. So with as much work as that you're doing in the Veterans Council, I know that being in the military, your succession planning, your training, your replacement. So how many replacements are you training to do all the jobs that you're doing? Is it a half a dozen, a dozen, two dozen? How many people are going to take Bill Dudley's role one day? Because it can't be one. There's no way.
Mike, I'm almost sorry that you asked me that question, because I don't have a good answer for you. I'll be honest with you. It is one of the things that we talk about a lot. My vice chairman has some health problems, some major mm-hmm. health issues. Our treasurer has some issues, mm-hmm. some health issues. Our secretary has some health issues. I'm the oldest of on the executive board, and I'm probably the healthiest one of the group. Mm-hmm. I have
reached You don't out. Have time to be sick.
Well, I hope I don't
get You got sick too much to do.
I hope I don't get sick at any time, but I've reached out to several people and that I know would do a phenomenal job. Yeah. But they said, Bill, you know, I'll come on, I'll help you do anything you need, but I don't want the leadership role. I don't want your job.
Yeah, God's going to touch one of their hearts, and it's all going to work out, right? I mean, I understand that, and I joke with you mainly because you're again, I said at the beginning of the show, you're such a huge resource for St. John's County and the people that you deal with, and you're not somebody that grass grows under their feet, right? And I appreciate all that yeah. you do. So
I appreciate you bringing me on this program so that we can get the word out in the community yeah. because you can never say enough about the things that you do for veterans and that our Veterans Council does.
And you got did an amazing job. I've always told you got an open mic anytime you want. All you got to do is call and you're on. Again, I'm one of those guys that won't say no to you. So do you have any funny stories, anecdotes when you were in the service, right? So I know there's a lot of rivalry between the different service organizations. So Air Force, Navy. Do you have any kind of funny stories that a joke that the Air Force maybe played on one of the other services?
Well, it's not a joke like that. Let me tell you though. You were asking earlier about how did an Air Force guy get in a position of leadership in the Navy League? Mm-hmm. And I was asked that same question a few years ago by a Navy admiral actually up in Jacksonville. Asked me, and I was having lunch with him. And he says, Bill, he says, you're retired Air Force, right? And I said, yes. Yes, sir, I am. He said, well, how did the Navy League ever get a guy to run the Navy League at your level from the Air Force? So I looked at him and I said, well, Admiral, the only thing I can think of they need is good leadership. That didn't go over too well with the Admiral. So I figured I won't say that anymore to any.
I would have said it to him every time. I mean, you got to have a sense of humor about this stuff. Yeah, first of all, he's got to recognize the job you're doing.
He got a big ha-ha out of it and laughed about it. And then he looked at me and gave me a squint eye. But, no, there is a lot of rivalry yes. between even in the Veterans Council, because we all represent different branches mm-hmm. of service. And so we put the needle out every now and then.
I think that's one of the great things about the services, right? Is you just work so hard together, but at the same time, you have so much fun making fun of each other. Yeah. And you have to be able to do that in life to enjoy things.
You definitely have to do it. Now when it comes social hour, you know, at the club downtown, at the officers club, that's a whole different thing.
I bet that's a lot of fun some nights.
It is.
I bet it's got to be a ton of fun, and the stories that you guys can tell and the laughs and jokes that you have. So Veterans Stand Down is October the 8th.
October the 8th. And the 7th we'll be setting up, and we need volunteers. So anyone who wants to come out and volunteer, be at the Elks Lodge at 0900 on October the 7th to help us unload the truck, set up the tables, and put out all of the clothing and the other things that we need to set the hall up with for that day.
And then the Veterans Day event is at Anastasia Baptist Church.
The doors to the church will open that morning to the public at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We've got all those displays, so you can come in and go walk through the displays. We got the global war on terror, terrorism. Wall returning this week, and we've got the Vietnam traveling wall. In November, and that'll be returning as well. So both of those walls will be set up, and they've actually had to extend another 8 foot length onto the Vietnam wall. Mm-hmm. They've added names onto the Vietnam wall. So that's a little longer, a little larger now this year than it was in years past.
Yeah.
So, and then we've got all of the other displays that we'll have there, and we'll have some military vehicles and rolling stock and all out front of the church as well, like we've had in years past. It comes from our Green Cove Military Museum, mm-hmm. So we'll have all that on display as well.
And that's 9 a.m. on the 11th.
9 a.m. and then the program starts that morning at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And we've got a phenomenal speaker, and we've changed a lot of the pictures that we'll have up there on the Jumbotrons that we'll be showing that day as well. A lot of those are going to be scenes from the global war on terrorism.
Have you worked at all with the Hydro Task Force One folks? Have you heard of them? I need to put you in touch with that group. They're a group of veterans that are teaching veterans to surf. They do it in Jacksonville. They do it the first weekend of the month down here in St. Augustine at the pier. A lot of great folks, but I need to get you in touch with some of their members.
I have, I know about them, and I almost think that we have one of the members scheduled for our Veterans Council meeting sometime in the next 3 months, 2 or 3 months.
Excellent.
To come and speak.
I knew you wouldn't let a veteran event go by without knowing about it.
I knew about the, I know about that, yeah.
Can't surprise him with anything.
Nothing.
You can't. If it's military stuff, he knows everything.
He's got it.
He's got it down. Amanda, any other questions?
No, I shared your website up here. There's a donation button at the bottom. So if you want to give online, that would be a great way to help support. And you can sign up for Amazon Smile. So if you do that, then once you get that attachment on your Amazon account, then every purchase you make will help support Colonel Dudley and the work that he does with the veterans.
And I just want to add two things. One, sign up and help support Colonel Dudley and the veterans in our community. And two, say prayers for them, because the work that they're doing goes unnoticed and under the radar, but it's an incredibly important work in helping the men and women that served our country that really need your services. Thank you so much for everything
you're doing. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me on. Amanda, thank you for putting all that information out there for us today.
Absolutely. Glad to help.
All right, this is St. Augustine this evening, and we will be right back tomorrow night. Colonel Dudley, thanks again.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you.
You bet.